707-1310 WIBA and Everyday Outdoor Living with the Bruce Company, hanging out in studio this morning with Lisa Briggs. Of course, Lisa does come to us from the Bruce Company. Of course, if you got a question for Lisa, we'd love to get you on the air. 608-321-1310. That's 321-1310. You can find the Middleton Garden Center of the Bruce Company right at 2830 Parmenter Street. That's 2830 Parmenter Street. Online, brucecompany.com, Facebook and social media, the Bruce Company. And again, phone lines are open for you this morning. 608-321-1310. That's 321-1310. You made it in this morning. You had a busy weekend. I thought, oh my goodness, is Lisa going to...
Energy's a little low, but I'm going to do my best.
You're going to give it your all. You had a busy weekend, a wedding. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And you've been dialing back on your cola consumption, which is... I don't want to...
That does make things a little more difficult, I have to say.
Oh, goodness. But it's great to see you. And I know there's a lot of stuff going on at the Bruce Company. We were just kind of talking before started our show this morning. And you were just kind of telling me about all the different events. I'm like, running out of paper for all of this.
You need a bigger paper,
yeah,
Sean.
I know. I reuse every piece of paper.
No, and that makes complete sense. Because I'll reuse this weather report when we go to record stuff after this.
Oh, perfect. Well, see, look at that. We are green and we're
simpatico.
Exactly. Phone lines are open, 321-1310. That's 321-1310. Talk about some of the great events going on out and about, as well as at the Bruce Company's Middleton Garden Center. We'll do that in just a moment. Always like to start off, though, talking about what's happening in the weather, Lisa.
I know. It looks like a moderate week. I'm going to put on my weather forecast voice. But it is looking dry. I mean, I know they're talking about scattered showers, so if you haven't watered, it would be a good week to get your hoses and sprinklers out.
Have we had it like that? Because I know you talk about like soaking rain. Like you want that to get it. It seems like the rainfall we've gotten has just been kind of like a quick and then...
Yeah, it's been very spotty and very, like it comes down hard for a little while and it's not everywhere. So yeah, what we really want is a nice... steady rain where it rains for several hours, and we have not had that in a while. So just, you know, especially if you planted anything new this year, stuff needs water.
Trees, bushes, shrubs.
Trees, plants, yeah, perennials, all that stuff needs water.
They love it. It makes them happy. If they could smile, they'd smile as you...
I would agree. And they, you know, they need that to establish. And so what happens is if plants aren't well established going into winter and we have a dry winter or we have a cold winter, then that sort of really affects... their winter hardiness. So you want to get stuff watered, irrigated, and established.
Excellent. So again, this check your water levels, and if you got to do some watering, you probably do. Get out there and get the water bucket going, and start giving them that water. I talked about all the cool things you guys have going on. We'll start off talking about, you guys have been out and about in communities. Great response with your pollinator events.
We've got two left. There's one this Friday.
Do we know where it is?
It's in Monona.
Okay.
At noon. Watch the Facebook page on Thursday afternoon.
TBA.
To be announced. Yes. So we will tell you exactly where it is.
Excellent. Do you know what the pollinator is going to be yet? Or
I don't. Lori will order it today. She'll look at the list and see what looks good. And then after this, we have one more. And that one's going to be somewhere in Middleton, because we were going out and about, and then I realized that we really should do one in our own hometown. So we're going to. And then we'll be done with that. But yeah, Monona and then Middleton.
Well, you know, a lot of folks are jealous that you guys are in Middleton, though. So it's kind of like you're always there with a...
Right, but I thought it would be good to, like, you know, to thank the people who support us all the time.
They're good people. And speaking of thanking folks that support us and take care of us and do great things for us, you guys have a first responder event coming
up. Yeah, we've done this before. We did a couple years ago where we had invited the first responder teams in Middleton to bring their trucks and tactical vehicles. I think the first one we had the canine unit. I've been away from the store for a few days because of the wedding. So Linda has been putting this together. I know for sure that the fire truck people will be there and the EMS.
Oh, very cool. And that's so the 23rd.
That is this Saturday. Oh, no, it isn't this Saturday. It's the 23rd.
It's the following Saturday.
Yes, you're right. It's the 23rd, and it is 11 to 1. And there will also be some food vendors there and, you know, some games. And so it's going to be a fun time. But, you know, you don't often get to sort of look inside a fire truck. So that's always kind of fun.
So you know who likes that.
And the guys are great. Those guys are brave and, you know, serve the community, and they're fabulous. So come out, even if you just come out and say thank you to them for the jobs that they do.
You know who really likes fire trucks? Everyone.
I know.
We always think like the kids like them, but I'll admit, like,
I don't know, they're pretty cool.
Yeah, they are very, very neat. And it's, as you mentioned, a chance to say thank you as well. Again, that's coming up on the 25th at 11 a.m. 23rd. Whoa, I said 25th. 23rd.
You did say the 25th. Where's the calendar?
23rd. Saturday the 23rd at 11 a.m. at the Middleton Guard Center of the Brews Company.
Thank you.
Details
Sean.
On their Facebook page. That's that feels right. I think we gotta. Again, there's just so much stuff happening and so much stuff going on that
I know it's hard to keep it all straight.
Is the Weber stuff still going on?
That goes through the 14th.
Okay, so we got a couple more days.
So you save up to $100 on a new spirit. So, yes, so come in for that. But that ends on the 14th, and that's a Weber-sanctioned event. So there's no sloppiness with the with the end date. It is the end date. And if you live in Dayton County, you also get free setup and delivery. So
oh, nice.
That's kind of an extra bonus.
That is absolutely fantastic. Get in and check that stuff out. Great opportunity as well. Speaking of checking things out, if you've got questions, maybe I'm checking out the yard going, I don't know about that. What's up with that? Lisa is the perfect person to go to let you know kind of what's going on there. If you got a question, love to get you on the air. 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. We'll talk and take, of course, your call. We'll also talk about some of the great summer sales and great stuff going on at the Brews Company. And we'll do all of that next as Everyday Outdoor Living with the Brews Company continues right here on 1310 WIBA. WIBA, Madison in the Morning and Everyday Outdoor Living, brought to you by the Brews Company, hanging out in studio this morning with Lisa Briggs from the Brews Company. You can learn more online, their website, brewscompany.com, brewscompany.com.
We just had a very stimulating conversation about Christmas tree lights. I was flipping through my notebook looking for something else.
I said, middle of July, who would be fretting about Christmas?
I am fretting about
Lisa
Christmas.
Lisa has things going about Christmas trees.
There's some issues with incandescent lights. I'm trying to figure out how to get around it.
These are the type of conversations.
These are the things I worry
about. If you really want to get deep with Lisa, you'll find out about what's going on with
No one wants to live inside my brain.
If you got a question, want to pick Lisa's brain, it's a great opportunity right now. We'll get you on the air. 608-321-1310. That's 321-1310. Head on up to Sun Prairie, and Tom joins us. Tom, welcome to the program here on the air with Lisa Briggs from the Brews Company.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Two quick questions for you. Number one, I have got a bumper crop of thistle.
Okay.
Oh, I guess thistle weeds this year. And then I got two perennial gardens, and they are just incredible. Is there anything I can do in the future to eliminate those things before they pop up?
Well,
and
the first thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's do one at a time. So the first thing is with thistles that they're biennials. So the first year you get some basal foliage, so, you know, kind of a low plant. And then the second year they send up the flower. And then that flower seeds pretty prolifically. And then, so that's why it starts all over again. So the first thing you can do is not let them go to seed. I know that they're difficult to dig out, but absolutely when you see those flowers start to form, or even when you see them start to send up those flower stems, cut those off. And then I would use a pretty, you know, concentrated herbicide, but what you can do is get it in a cup and a foam brush and paint it right on the foliage at the base of the plant. And that will help get rid of the plant without you worrying about overspray or anything like that in your perennial garden.
Okay.
Two-pronged approach.
Okay. Yeah, they've been a real nuisance.
Yeah.
Somebody
somewhere let one go to seed.
Yeah, I did. Okay. Another question, Lisa, is sun patients.
Okay.
I've always used them this time of the year. Can they take direct sun, or are they more of a shade, part sun plant? Mine aren't doing real hot this year.
The sun patients will take some pretty direct sunlight. As opposed to so you're talking about impatiens are a shade loving plant. The sun patients have been bred to take more light. But this year we've had that sort of cold heat sort of seesaw that we've been having. And I would suspect that it's more a problem of the heat than it is the sun. So okay. If we're going to have some hot days, maybe move them in a place where they're, you know, or throw a row cover or something so they're not going to get that direct heat.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Yeah, they're usually really... They're usually pretty good for a full sun spot, but when it gets to be 90 degrees or 95 degrees and those heat index get really high, it's hard on every plant, even ones that are bred to handle the more intense sunlight.
Tom, great question this morning. Thank you for the call. That clears open the line, too. If you've got a question for Lisa, love to get you on the air. 608-321-1310. That's 321-1310. You mentioned, too, with the thistle. I know there's other plants like this they have like an alternating year as far as...
Some of them are garden plants that we really like hollyhocks do the same thing. Hmm. So your hollyhocks are not perennial, but what you do is you let a couple of them go to seed, and that's how...
Starts the process over a couple of years. Oh, very, very interesting stuff. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Platteville and Sean. Sean, welcome to the program. You're on the air with Lisa Briggs from the Bruce Company.
Thank you very much, and good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I have some elderberry plants, bushes, and one of them has, I think it's called rust.
Okay.
It's like a yellowish growth on the leaves and sometimes the stems. And so I cut that out and disposed of it, and I still have more coming, and the top of the flowering part that will bury is kind of wilted. And you can just tell the plant's not looking very healthy. Is there something I can spray on that to deal with that, or do I just need to cut it down?
No, you can treat it with a fungicide, and that will arrest it, but you want to make sure that the fungicide is rated for rust, because not all of them are. I think that you could use Daconil, but check the label. But come into the garden center. We'll help you find something. You just need to be sure that you have a fungicide that will work for rust, because not all of them do. So if you've got something at home that you already have, just read that pamphlet on the back and make sure that rust is listed as one of the fungus that it will take care of.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Great call, Sean. Great name. Thanks for calling. It clears open live. Still got time for a question for Lisa at 608-321-1310. That's 321-1310. And I always forget when I talk with you, your term for rust is different from what most of us think of. We're talking about a little fungus, little spores and stuff that grow on leaves.
Yes, yeah, it's a really... It's a fascinating fungus.
Is it? And leave it to you to know these things about.
So it kind of it's they often have an alternative host.
Okay.
Where they start on one plant and then they move from that host plant to the other host plant, where it then just like spins around in a cycle.
Can it kill the plant, or is it just kind of yucky?
Not generally. Rust is their fungus that will, you know, that cause a leaf or cause a plant to defoliate, like apple scab. And then there are other funguses like mildew and rust, where they need their host plant to be living. So they just sort of hang out on the tissue of the leaf or whatever, the stems, but they don't, it's not in their best interest to kill that plant.
Bad idea.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't like fare well for the rust.
Fungus are kind of fascinating.
Sounds very fascinating. That's the same stuff too. Like when you're walking through the grass, occasionally there's
grass. There are rusts on grass. There's cedar apple rust, which is one. There's rose. A lot of plants in the rose family will get rust.
Okay.
So, but grass will get a rust.
And there's sprays and stuff to treat all that.
Yes, a fungicide. Not an insecticide, which is why you ask when you see something. That's why you ask, because if you have a fungus, an insecticide will not help you.
It's
and
not
vice
do
versa.
A thing. That's very,
right? So
save money, save time, get
and
the right thing.
And some of them too, like those weird little galls, which are caused by insects. So you get weird growths on, say, oak leaves or maple leaves or whatever, but they're protected. So spraying it with an insecticide is not going to help either.
It's protecting it. That's
this is why we ask.
This is why it's always great to stop into the Middleton Garden Center of the Bruce Company, have that conversation. You got issues too.
Bring us samples.
Samples.
The weirder the better.
Pictures of Lisa likes weird. They love it at the Bruce Company. 321-1310, 321-1310. If you got a question for Lisa Briggs, love to get you on the air. Let's head on up to the only Wanakee in the world. And Dottie joins us. Dottie, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Morning.
I have a question for Lisa.
Okay.
And see if there's any spray to put on my, well, even the fruit trees. I have fruit trees and just any trees, these little, they look like little beetle bugs.
Okay.
They fly around. They've been on, last year they ate all the leaves off my rhubarb.
Okay.
And my plum tree, I've had plums on them, but now I see they look like they're gone, but the tree is filling up with these little beetle bugs.
Okay.
Is there any spray?
Well, yeah, you
can
use an insecticide, and when you have edible plants, you do want to be careful that you choose an insecticide that will be safe so that you can still harvest. Now, on that little pamphlet that's always attached to the bottle, there will be, you know, they'll say you spray, and then you're going to have to wait a requisite number of days before you harvest. But one of the ones is called 8.
Okay.
So that's a contact killer. So that will kill anything, but you can then eat the fruit as long as you pay attention to that date, how many days you have to wait. There's also something called Japanese beetle killer, which is quite good, or you can use Captain Jack's, which is considered an organic. So 8 is made with chrysanthemum flowers, so it is considered organic and it's fast. Captain Jack's, as the beetle ingests the plant, as they eat it, it disrupts their digestive system and they die, so it's not as fast, but it is still super effective. So you have options.
Dottie, great question. Get on in and they can help you out. The Middleton Garden Center, that is one where you want to fungicide, insecticide.
Okay. Yeah.
They want to get the right one there. So definitely get in. They
can
help you out.
Come on in.
For sure. Let's go real quick. Speaking of Middleton, let's head on out to Middleton where Mike joins us. Mike, welcome to the program. You're on the air with Lisa Briggs from the Bruce Company.
Good morning. Thanks very much for your time and taking my call. A couple questions. First one is, this winter was real tough on my holly plants. They dropped all their leaves. And as you suggested, just wait for them. They'll grow them back. They did, which was fantastic. I just wonder how much stress that places on the plant.
Well, I think that with any broadleaf evergreens like holly or rhododendron, it was really difficult because the winter was super dry after a very dry fall. And since we didn't have any snow cover, there's no moisture going into the soil. And it was a pretty windy winter. And actually, kind of on the colder side. So what you want to do for this year is to keep them well irrigated. So make sure that they're going to get a good soak once a week. And if they're in an area where wind is coming through, like a north side or something like that, you might want to throw up, you know, like a barrier. You could do burlap and a couple of stakes or something to just protect them from the wind, since all that foliage is new and, you know, more tender maybe than leaves that have been around for a couple of years.
Sure. Yeah. Last fall I did cover them all in burlap, but they still dropped. So
yeah, it was so dry.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. My second question is, I have some suckers coming up from a bunch of my lilacs and I want to transfer them get them to grow somewhere else in the yard. Is this an okay time to do that this portion of the year?
I would say that the best time to do that is in the early spring. So as things are starting, as you can get into the ground and dig, and then transplant them then.
Okay, perfect.
So if you can
wait
till next spring, I would do that. So as soon as you can get your shovel in and the ground has dried out a little bit from hopefully the snow that we're going to get this winter, because we've had a couple of dry ones, and then you can do that. That would be the best time to dig lilacs.
Perfect. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Mike, thanks for calling. And that just about does it. Real quick, though, before we head out, summer sales going on at the Bruce Company.
Yeah, every Monday there's a new nursery stock sale. Today starts topiaried evergreens.
Ooh.
And every Tuesday, Lori's doing a flash sale for a week on a perennial.
Nice.
So watch the Facebook page tomorrow, and we will tell you what the perennial of the week is going to be.
Get on Facebook, too. They've got you got trivia.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Events going on. So follow them on Facebook, The Bruce Company, the webpage, Bruce Company. Even better, stop on in. They'd love to see you right at 2830 Parliament Street. That's 2830 Parliament Street right in Middleton for the Middleton Garden Center of the Bruce Company. The guys from Troll Bites come your way next year, 1310 WIBA.